I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Good to be with you once again.
In an earlier podcast, you explained some of the ins and outs of buying property via your personal super fund, plus how for businesses, you can then lease it back to yourself as the tenant. However, I was wondering if you could discuss the pros and cons of actually occupying property you also own, either outright or through your super fund. Let's start with the advantages.
Well, the obvious advantage is that with interest rates being as low as they are, it's currently cheaper to own your own premises than it is to lease it. Now, that is irrespective whether you buy it in your own name or an entity you own or in your personal super fund. The rent that you would be required to pay to match the interest would be far lower than if you went into the marketplace at the moment. Now, that may change, but that is probably your number one advantage. The next thing is that you become your own landlord, and therefore control of the rent that's being charged to the business itself. Now, one thing with a personal super fund is that the lease arrangements do have to be an arm's length transaction. In other words, they need to be at a realistic rental. You can't provide, let's say you don't borrow and you buy the property outright, you can't just charge a low rental and expect to get away with it. You have to charge at least market rent. Now, what you can do is charge above market rent. So in your own business, you actually end up paying a premium. However, those funds as rent can be channeled legitimately into your super fund and build up the assets within the fund itself. The next thing is that ownership provides you with some additional collateral for your business overdraft. Now, that assumes that you own it outside of the super fund. In other words, that when you go to the bank, they hold the title, that can often provide you with the security you need to get an overdraft for the business itself. They don't take a formal mortgage over it, they might take a lien over the title, but it can be quite helpful in the ups and downs of the economy to have ownership of the property. Then another benefit is that any improvements that you make to the property, I'm talking physical improvements, are ultimately to your benefit. Because quite often in lease property, you will still make improvements, but the fact is that you either have to leave them when you vacate the premises, or in worst case scenario, you have to reinstate the premises to its original condition. In other words, remove some of the improvements you might have made. So being your own landlord overcomes that. And then the final and most obvious one is that having made all those improvements, the benefit flows by added value, but also any capital growth over the period of the ownership flows to you as the business owner and owner of the property rather than to an external landlord. So I think that probably sums up the main advantages of owning your own property.
Now, what about some of the disadvantages?
Okay. Now, you'll generally find that when you're looking for a property to occupy for your business and to purchase it, that there will actually be a limited number of properties available to choose from. And that's purely because you need to find a property that is both on the market and vacant at the same time. And that's not always easy. The next thing you need to consider is that you may need to undertake some initial building works up front to make your chosen property suitable for your intended use. Because more often than not, owner-occupied properties have special requirements and facilities built into them that suited the outgoing owner-occupier but may not suit you. So they would additional costs that you'll have to bear. And then what you need to consider, get down the track, is what if you actually outgrow the property? How are you going to handle that? Because you have a property you own which suits your business ideally, but you've now outgrown it. So you end up with having to make two decisions. You've got to find another property and at the same time either sell the property you've got or find a tenant to go in to replace you. So you've got to do two things at once, both as an investor and as a business owner, which more often than not becomes a distraction, and you tend to spread yourself a bit thin in solving both those problems. And then you've got to also consider what happens when the time comes for you to sell your business. Now you might say, well, that's years away. Well, yeah, it is, but I always say to my clients, work out your end strategy at the time you purchase. What's the exit mechanism? Now, you've got to think about it. If you want to get to the point where you're selling your business, the chances are you may well also want to sell the property. Now, the problem with that is that anyone coming in may only want to buy the business. They may want to consolidate the business elsewhere, or they say, okay, I'll take the property, but if you want us to pay you full price for your business, we're only going to pay you 80% of what the property's worth, or vice versa. If you want full value for the property, we want a discount on the business. So you've got to consider those factors. You might say, well, I'm happy to sell just the business. Well, the thing you've got to think about then is the incoming tenant going to be as reliable as you were in paying your rent? Now, you might end up getting a top price for your business, but the people operating it are not as good as you. So you end up inheriting a tenant in a property that was probably purpose-built for that tenant or that use that you put it to. And let's say you had a 3-year lease or even a 5-year lease and they leave at the end of that period, you then have the dilemma of a vacant property that is designed for a specific purpose. So it's not all plain sailing. While there are advantages, you've also got to take into account the disadvantages of owning your own property and occupying it at the same time.
So how would you recommend our listeners tackle such a dilemma?
Well, it's a dilemma that really has quite a simple solution. And that is that, in my view, and this is what I advise my investor clients who also have a business that needs a property to be occupied, is that what you do is you solve your business problem first. Now, there are a lot more vacant properties available to lease than there are vacant properties available for sale, because there are a lot more investors running around than there are owner-occupiers. So what you need to do is to find the property that ideally suits your business. And that is both in size, location, configuration, and you'll have a much greater chance of finding that if you're looking for properties to lease. Now, depending on what the market is, you might also, as an incentive for you to lease the property, particularly if you take a decent lease, say at least a 5-year lease, the owners may well be happy to contribute to help refit or rework the property to make it suitable for you. Alternatively, they may give you an extended rent-free period for you to carry out those works and move your premises in and your people and set up and get started. So that is the way to do it. Now, I'm not saying don't invest in property. I'm just saying separate the two decisions. Settle your business down. Now, if you then have funds available to invest, let's go and find you a property that is ideally suited for investment by way of its location, the fact that it's designed to be of a, without wanting to downgrade it, generic use, so that there are a multitude of occupiers, whether they're office or industrial, so that the design is such that it can be easily adapted and quickly readapted to the current and future uses. So that way, when the time comes for things to happen in your business, either to grow or to sell, you only have to deal with the decisions relating to your business, and therefore you can demand top value for the business, and you're not having to grapple with it at the same time with the decision of having to find a replacement tenant, or is the person buying the business a suitable replacement tenant? So, you know, it's not overly complicated. I'm simply saying don't try and solve two problems at once, because you end up creating more problems down the track than you really need to address.
Anything further you'd like to add?
Okay. Let's assume that you currently lease a property from which you run your own business, and that you need to relocate your current headquarters for whatever reason. And in the process, you may, as a business owner, often unwittingly forego considerable benefits that are rightly yours. So how might this occur? You see, for some people, a move only happens once during their business life. For others, it's more frequent, depending on your natural expansion or the acquisitions you make along the way. But if you talk to prudent corporate advisors, they will tell you not to tie up funds in a property where your overall return, rent and capital growth is somewhere between 10 to 12% per annum, when you are more likely to earn 20 to 30% per annum from your current business activities. Now, as you probably gathered from earlier comments, I have no quarrel with that. I think that's a smart move. However, that doesn't mean you shouldn't and can't take full advantage of your ability to provide a strong lease covenant when the opportunity arises for you to relocate your business. Now, more often than not, the business activities or the capability of a business is far bigger initially, until you build it up, than your personal business ability to invest in commercial property. So quite often we're talking about, you know, medium to large sized firms requiring, you know, substantial offices or distribution centres if it's on industrial. So basically that would include, you know, a well-established suburban firm with a good trading record. Now, when you need a new premises to operate from, it often involves either leasing a pre-existing building or pre-committing to a purpose-built structure. In other words, as a developer prepared to build something that would fit your needs. Now, in both these cases, who do you really think benefits from the long-term lease you're about to enter into? I mean, clearly, it's the owner or developer of that particular property. Sure, you may end up with a fabulous brand new premises. However, the strength of your lease covenant puts additional money directly into their pockets, while you seldom reap any significant benefit from the overall deal. And yet, that need not be the case. I mean, you've got to understand the developer or the owner benefits in a couple of ways. You see, whenever a developer does anything of a speculative nature, they have what's called a profit and risk factor built into the developments. In other words, after you've added up all the costs, the land, the building, the fees, the interest, they generally add on somewhere between 18 to 22, 23%. And that's called profit and risk. Now, let's assume we'll call it for ease 20%. Generally, in a balanced market, it'll be 10% risk, 10% profit. Now, obviously, if it's a more speculative, it may well be that the risk takes a higher proportion. But if you pre-commit to take the premises before they actually start construction, the risk component drops considerably. Now, that means that they can take that out of the 20%, but also what it does do is that it enables them to negotiate more favourable lending terms, because any lender doesn't want to carry the risk of what if the property's built and there's no tenant found. So to have the tenant pre-committed before construction, they will generally at least shave 1% off their borrowing rate. But if they are an owner investor or developer investor where they intend to hold the property if only for a short time, but immediately after rather than selling it straight away, then what they can often do is to change the type of loan that they have from a development loan to an end finance loan, again, at a lower, much lower rate, but they then do it by way of progressive payments and drawdowns until the property is finished. Now, that means that, knowing all that, that you ought to be able to drive a pretty good bargain on the rent. So you should be able to get a rent slightly below, it might be 5-10% below the market for established properties if you pre-commit with one for redevelopment or development. But also you should be able to negotiate a fairly good incentive period, either rent-free or contribution to fit out or whatever it is that you feel is needed for your business. So I'm now talking probably more as a tenant and someone who is looking for lease premises. You also need to understand it from an owner's point of view as well, that it's not that you are taking money out of their pocket, it's costs saved because of the certainty of having you as a tenant or having a tenant pre-commit that enables them to build into the finished product an incentive package that makes it worthwhile for the tenant as well as for them. Now, equally, you need to look at it. If you have the funds to go and develop something yourself, well, what you can do is to end up with a new premises that perfectly suits your needs, both with design and layout. You provide and can write yourself a secure lease with built-in flexibility for you down the track. You get a rental your business can afford and a fit-out to suit your team's requirements. And when you stop and think about it, whether it's an office or distribution centre, the only way to make sure you get everything you want is if you create the finished product yourself. But I'm not saying that you build and continue to own. You see, what you know better than anyone else is where you want the headquarters to be and what they need to look like, and the lease term you want, the rent that works for your building, and the internal layout. So with proper guidance, you can quickly identify the land, obtain the building permit, enter into a construction contract, commit to lease and rent the property, and then sell the complete package to an investor quite often before construction actually starts. And therefore, that developer's profit and risk of, you know, 18% to 22%, 23%, instead of going into a developer's pocket, can go into yours. So in other words, if let's say that the project is a $2 million project, your actual profit from making the move and doing what I'm talking about could end up being somewhere between $350,000 and $450,000. Now, as I said, all you need to do is find the land, secure a building permit, and if you use the help of the expert team of consultants, which I use for my clients on a regular basis, this is not overly complicated. This is something that can really work for you. So, you see, the developer's profit then goes into your pocket and you get to occupy a brand new, ideally designed headquarters with the built-in flexibility for you down the track.
To be honest, I had really only considered the upside of owning the property your business was in, but what you covered today sheds a completely new light on the whole topic. So thank you, Chris.
I just hope everyone found it helpful, and I'll look forward to being with you again next week.